We're going to talk about momentum today. That's an odd subject for a sermon, isn't it? Momentum. Momentum. But its relevance to our focus this morning, I hope, will become clear in a few minutes. We're going to talk about momentum, but our focus is really gratitude or thanksgiving. And I don't know why I came up with that subject for today, but it just sort of struck me as appropriate. Our lead-off witnesses for that focus of gratitude and thanksgiving are the 10 lepers in Luke 17 whom Jesus heals. Now, you can turn there if you want. We're not going to read any particular verses because it's a pretty well-known story. I just want to remind you of the story as soon as I remind you. If you don't remember it immediately, you will as soon as I remind you. There are 10 lepers, and they are crying out to Jesus for healing. Jesus hears them, approaches them, tells them to go show themselves to the priest, and when they do, they discover that they have been healed of this leprosy. It's a great story. The story then turns to gratitude when 9 of the 10, presumably happy to be healed, happy to have a new lease on health, happy that their leprosy is gone, those 10 go on with their lives. They just walk away, go into their days, do whatever they had planned to do. But one of the ten, a Samaritan, and the Samaritans, of course, were the people who didn't have anything to do with Jews, right? Jews and Samaritans, they were at cross purposes and all kinds of conflicts. And so the one of the ten who doesn't walk in back into the rest of his life is a Samaritan. He goes back to Jesus and says thanks. 90% of the people healed by Jesus in this miracle respond to their good fortune by walking away and saying, well, gee, that was okay. I've got a free afternoon now. Only 10% of the people go back and say thanks. Now, here's where momentum comes in. You know, you have an idea, right? Momentum, what it is. It has to do with the mass of an object and the velocity of the object. A bowling ball rolling down the hill has more momentum than like a little rubber ball, a ball and jack would have, right? And you just sort of intuitively know that. Or a tank rolling down a hill has more momentum than like a little metal Hot Wheels car. Right, that you can have more momentum, and it depends on some variables. But anyway, momentum has to do with this motion and the inert, and this movement and this force that's gathered up as a result of the combination of mass and velocity. The more momentum something has, the harder it is to stop it. Right? You try to stop the Hot Wheels car, you're not going to have much trouble. Try to stop the tank. Coming downhill, you're going to have a little challenge. The more momentum something has, the harder it is to stop. So think about the momentum or the momentums that the one healed leper had to fight against in order to go back to Jesus to say thanks. Okay. There was the momentum of numbers. There were 10 of them, and the other 9 are just going off into their day. Hey, if 90% of us are going, might as well make it 100%, right? Why should I go? Why should I be the only one? I don't want to be the only one. Nobody likes to be the only one. So all the other guys walked away. I can too. The 10th leper. Young people face what we call peer pressure today. Well, the 10th leper faced peer pressure, the pressure of numbers. And that's a kind of momentum. It's like, well, Joe didn't say thanks. And Marty didn't say, Marty, I shouldn't use that. I shouldn't, that was terrible. I should never have said that. That was terrible. Jose didn't say thanks, and if anybody is going to say thanks when Jose is going to say thanks, well, he didn't say thanks, well, then why should I say thanks? I mean, nobody else is saying thanks. The tenth leper fought back against the momentum of numbers. Then there's the momentum of anonymity. You can imagine that leper saying, oh, he didn't know me. I was just a voice crying in the wilderness out there. He didn't know. If I don't go back, he'll never remember that I didn't go back. I mean, look at all these guys. I'm just a face in the crowd. He's healed so many people today, probably. He won't remember. I can easily just go into my day. He'll never notice. I mean, they didn't come back. Anonymity is another form of momentum that leper, the tenth one, had to fight against. And then there was the momentum of conclusion. It's like, it's done. I'm healed. It's over. It's all done, right? The transaction is complete. I wanted healing, and he healed me. That's it. Transaction's done. I'm done. The incident is no more. Our transaction is completed. I don't have to go back. I can go on with my life now. That's the momentum of conclusion. The incident's over. My leprosy is gone. Today we conclude a series of sermons on how we respond to God and God's provision and God's call. And we've talked about several different aspects and several different ways that we respond. We've talked about we can respond with rejection. God, I really don't want to do that. Sorry, I'm not going to do that. We can respond with doubt. I'm not sure that you got the right person about that. I'm not sure that you heard my prayer. I'm not sure that you're giving me what I want you to give me. I'm just not sure. We can respond with complaints. I thought for sure you were going to provide for me better than you have provided for me. We can respond with regret. I wish I hadn't sacrificed so much of my life for you, God, because I thought the arrangement was going to be better than this. I really thought things were going to turn out better for me than this. I just don't think you've lived up to your part of the bargain, and I'm really sorry that I ever agreed to it in the first place. We can respond without delay, like the disciples who immediately followed Jesus upon receiving his invitation. The tenth leper, or the tenth healed leper, shows us that we can also respond to God and God's provision with gratitude, with thanksgiving. The other nine lepers, however, show us that we don't always respond with that way. Why don't we always respond with gratitude? Why don't we always respond to life's blessings, to God's provision? Why don't we always respond with gratitude? Well, it has to do with some momentums. There's the momentum of expectations. You know, God, I asked you for this much, and I think you only gave me this much. I really expected to give me more than that. I thought you would provide for me in this way, and you really provided for me in that way, and I really expected you to do this way, and I really wanted this way, and you didn't give it to me. And I'm just not feeling very thankful right now. I've told the story before, and it's embarrassing as all get out, but it's one of the great stories I can tell on myself to indicate the problem of the momentum of expectations. It was a Christmas family at Christmas, and we had gathered back at my parents' house, and there we were, and I was in seminary at the time, and my brother had a gift for me, and I tear into the box, you know, because I've never stopped tearing into boxes, whether they have my name on them or not. And I tear up into this box, and it's a Bible trivia game. I didn't want a Bible trivia game. Still don't want a Bible trivia game. Take that off your list if it's on your list. Just remove it. So, but you know, my brother had given some thought. He said, I got a brother who's in seminary. He's doing that churchy thing. He's probably going to need a Bible trivia game, you know? That's what you need when you're in seminary. You need a Bible trivia game. And so after the unwrapping and all the stuff was done, I approached him, and I told you this was embarrassing, but it's the truth. And I said, I really don't want a Bible trivia game. Could you, like, I don't know, take it back? It was the momentum of expectations, right? I expected my brother to know that I don't want Bible trivia games. He didn't know. At least he didn't. Or at least he didn't care. Then there's the momentum of busyness. He's too busy. I've got too many things on my plate. Too much to do. I'm spread too thin. I've got so many other responsibilities. Too much. Don't have time to say thanks. That momentum stops a lot of people from worshiping, right? Oh, I'm just so busy. I just got other things. I'm sorry. Sunday, the weekends are my only days off. Sunday's my only day to sleep in. It has developed some momentum, right? It's the momentum of busyness. I've got to take care of myself. I don't have time for that church thing. I don't have time for that worship thing. I'm just too busy to worship and praise God. And then there's a related momentum, the momentum of tiredness. Depletion, energy depletion. I got like 3 hours sleep last night. I understand the momentum of tiredness. I just don't have enough energy to spend time counting my blessings. I need downtime. I don't need blessing counting time, right? I know God provides for me, but I'm worn out. And I just don't have the energy to say thanks every time something good happens to me. I just don't have it. I'm tired. God knows everything, so God knows that I'm happy. God knows that I'm grateful. God can see inside my heart, so I don't have to say it. I don't have to go to church for it. God knows. It's the blessing. It's the momentum of tiredness. And then there's the momentum of pride and ego. Why do I have to say thanks to God when I'm the one who did it? Huh? Oh, yeah, sure, God was there in some kind of godly way, some kind of spiritual way, right? But I'm the one who did it. It was my effort. It was my plan. It was my responsibility. I deserve the credit. Why should I thank God for something that I did? It's the momentum of ego and pride. And then the last momentum that I will list, and there are probably many others, but there's the momentum of doubt. How do I know that that blessing, that goodness, was a God thing? Maybe it was just luck. Maybe it was just happenstance. Maybe it was just karma. You know, maybe it was just fate. Maybe it was something other than God. How do I know for sure? Why should I thank God if I'm not sure that it was God who made that possible? If I'm not sure that God even had anything to do with it. So the question I have for you today is really a stickler. What momentums keep you from saying thanks? Which ones keep you from praising God, from thanking God? Ephesians 5:20 says this, and give thanks for everything. You see those two words? For everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Colossians 3:15, do I have Colossians 3:15 in there? Colossians 3:15 says, apparently not. Okay. Colossians 3:15 says, always be thankful. Always be thankful. Be thankful for all things. What is it that keeps you from glorifying and worshiping God every chance you get? If praise doesn't come easy for you, if thanksgiving doesn't come easy for you, if gratitude to God doesn't come easy for you, think of it as a momentum. Once you move in that direction, once you move in the direction of, well, I don't have to say thanks for this, and I don't have to say thanks to that. Once you move in that direction, it gets easier and easier to move in that direction, and you develop momentum, and as you know from the tank rolling down the hill, the more momentum you have, the harder it is to stop. The harder it is to turn the truck around, or at least just stop the tank. Once you move in the direction, the longer you practice a life without gratitude to God, the easier it becomes to keep doing it, and the harder it is to start giving thanks. That's how it is with, that's how we lose some church people. Once they disconnect, you know, once they stop coming to worship, the practice of not going develops a momentum. You know, it becomes easier and easier. I've missed two, missed three, missed six, and then it has a momentum. Right? I'm going to do cardio here today. It develops a momentum, and the momentum makes it harder and harder to reverse course. So what's the answer? The answer is a new momentum. A new momentum to replace the old momentum. The new momentum is a momentum of praise, a momentum of worship, a momentum of thanksgiving, a momentum of gratitude, a momentum of acknowledgement of God's goodness, of God's greatness, of God's provision in your life. Even when you don't feel it, even when you're tired and worn out, even when there's not much of a case for it. Ephesians 5 says, be grateful in all things. Be thankful for all things at all times. I think the word I use more than any other in my prayers is some form of the word thanks. Okay? If you listen carefully, and some of you have heard a lot of the prayers over the time that you've been here, I use that word more. That's the more the primary operative word in my prayers. The other day in the ICU with or this week we were there many times. Steve and Faith and one of Faith's brothers. There were serious and potentially deadly circumstances, but the prayer that we gave and the prayer that sort of flowed from my spirit as we were gathered there in the ICU, in the waiting room, or in Steve's room, the word that kept flowing in the prayer was thanks. Thanks for Steve's faith. Thanks for Faith's partnership with him. Thanks for the support of family. Thanks for the skills of the professionals who are taking care of things. In all things, we said thanks. Thank you. 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 In the midst of life-threatening circumstance, we said thank you. And the prayer that flowed from my spirit, the prayer that usually flows from my spirit, always is thanks. Thanks. Establish a new momentum of gratitude in your life. God, there was a crisis, but I got through it, and therefore I thank you. God, my friend just died, but boy did he or she ever bless me, and so I thank you for the life. God, life is really hard, but I know you will provide, so in advance of your provision, in advance of what you're going to do for me, I say thanks. A new momentum of gratitude. You hit a string of green lights, well, you say, thanks God for the convenience. You hit a string of red lights, well, thanks God for the opportunity to slow down and take a pause. I had to think about that one for a while. I had to get creative. That one is not one I usually do. Create a momentum of gratitude in your life. And as the momentum builds, you will find that you will say thank you more and more and more. Including when God provides for you the way you want and when God provides for you in the ways that you didn't expect. Or that you didn't even think you wanted. In fact, to start or continue to build that momentum today by attending our potluck feast. Don't say, I didn't bring anything. Don't say, I'm not hungry. Say, thanks God for providing me, for me, through people of the congregation. I just want you to know, and I thought about this last night, I peeled potatoes for you. Okay? Now, I know Jesus died on the cross for you, but did he peel potatoes for you? There is no record in the Bible that he peeled potatoes for you. I peeled potatoes for you. What does that mean? That means you're going to stay and eat.
He provided manna.
Okay, I didn't ask you. Okay. See, when you know the Bible, you're a little dangerous. Just stop that. Mashed manna. Mashed manna. The manna, manna, mo manna, mo manna. Oh, never mind. All right. So don't develop a momentum of gratitude. Whether you brought anything today or not, the whole point of what we say every time we have a potluck is you are welcome. God will provide for you. Start thanking God for the provision by today accepting the provision. Give thanks in all things, in all ways, starting now. Let's pray. God, thanks for the word. We recognize every week how imperfectly the word is delivered, at least here. But the word is your word, always bears fruit. And it's just a question of whether we accept it, and sort of catch it, and then take it to heart. We're so grateful for your provision. We're so grateful for your presence in crisis. We've all had crisis moments. Maybe we're living in a crisis right now. We're so grateful for all the times when life really got out of control and somehow you pulled us through. Maybe there was a life preserver you threw us, or a relation, a person who came to, who just had the right words of comfort and encouragement, or a blessing of provision that we didn't expect and but very much needed. We're just grateful for those times when the people that we loved were in hospitals, or in financial crisis, or emotional distress, or feeling the effects of family dysfunction, and somehow you worked and wended your way through those situations and found a way to bring your grace and your mercy and your power of forgiveness to them. We're grateful for that. We don't claim that life is easy. None of us lives an easy life. But boy, are we grateful for the life we live, because we know if we observe and we look carefully enough, we know your hand is upon it and in it. So we say thanks for every person here today. We say thanks for the provision of the food that awaits us. And we say thanks for your promise never, ever to let us go. In the midst of all the other busyness of life, that we say and that we praise you for. In Jesus' name. God's people say.
Amen.